How do you feel physically? How many more years do you think you can play? How many years do you want to play baseball in the major league?
Well, Nettie, I am very funny person because I think that I would like to play as long as I can help a ball club. And sometimes, like year before last, last year I played with a very bad left shoulder, and it was very, very tough for me. I don't want to play like that because I hurt myself, and I hurt also defense, and I hurt the pitcher organization. So I would like to play until I reach 3,000 hits. I tell you the truth. I think that that is something that not too many fellows accomplish in the past, and not too many fellows are going to accomplish in the future either. Mm-hmm. So I would say I would like to play until I reach the 3,000 hits.
Well, you're going to manage this year in San Juan in the Winter League. Would you like to continue in baseball in that category in the future?
Well, I managed one time in Puerto Rico, and this is the second time that I'm going to manage down there. I will be managing the San Juan Baseball Club in San Juan. I would like to play baseball in some capacity. Right now, I cannot tell you which capacity, but I would like to play baseball in some capacity because I love baseball too much, and it would be a completely loss for myself just to stay away from baseball. I don't think I could never stay away. As long as I am alive, I cannot stay away from baseball. Mm-hmm. So it might be that I might continue. Mm-hmm. Because I like to work with players, and I really enjoy to be in the ballpark.
Well, I know the ball players enjoy having you around. Yeah. One guy in particular who was favorably impressed with you, meeting you for the first time personally this year, was Dave Justy. And I might mention, too, that your judgment of pitchers is pretty good. I think you made a recommendation on Justy, didn't you?
Mr. Joe Brown called me in the winter time, and he asked me what I thought about Justy, and I gave him my opinion, and he was going to sign him anyhow, but he called me, and he asked me what I thought of Justy. He could help the ball club. So I gave him my opinion, and I signed him. So we went to Kansas City, and I knew that we was weak in the bullpen for a while, and I recommend Orlando Pena, which I think he's going really, really going to help this ball club because this fellow knows how to pitch, and this fellow is a tough competitor. So I would say that Pena also going to help this ball club.
Roberto, I wanted to thank you on behalf of Bob Prince and Gene Osborne, too, for the very warm and sincere gift you gave us of an autographed baseball. You're quite a deep sort of a person as far as emotion and warmth, and it's been my pleasure to know you for many years. And you told me one time you had kind of had a philosophy on life. It was one of getting up and doing the best you can every day. And when you meet people, try and be as nice as you can to them. Did you suddenly come across that, or is that just a recent philosophy in life for you?
Well, nearly all my life, I come from a very, very sentimental family. And my mother, she's very, very religious. And all my life, I'm very, very close to my mother, and I would say that lots of times through playing baseball, I am a person, as a ball player probably, and as a human being, I am another person. I really love people, and all my life, I never have any problem with people outside the ballpark. Sometimes I have to say something to some of the writers because I feel that they are not right one, you know, sometimes, but I love people. I would say that I love all kind of people. So I say before, I never have any hate for any human being in my life, thanks to God. And I would say that I love everybody. So this is the way I always feel, and I think that I'm glad because I took after my mother.
Well, Roberto, we'll end it with that, and it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I know it's a joy to be here to wind up Forbes Field and see this great crowd, isn't it?
Oh, this is great, Nelly. This is a big emotion for me because this ballpark means a great deal to me because I spent here 16 years, almost half of my life. I spent here 16 years in this ballpark, and this ballpark has been great to me right here, and the fans have been great for me here too. So it's like I was telling some of the fellows today, you've been married to your wife for 16 years. And so all of a sudden something happened, and you gotta be hurt about it. But It's like a newborn party. It's like you might find another wife or something like that. You have to wait and see. So now we got to wait and see how the other boy party going to be good to me or not, like 4 feet away with was.
Well, I'm sure you'll be good to it. Roberto, nice talking to you.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Accept this $25 gift certificate from Terra Hall. Remember, you can get into shape this summer with a Terra sports coat. Terra features a wide variety of the latest shapes and sports coats. You can see them at Henry B. Klein, 111 Fifth Avenue in the Keysport. I'll be back to take a look at some scores in just 1 minute. Very quickly, scores in the National League. After six innings, it's 4-2. St. Louis leading Philadelphia. That's the first of two. Montreal and New York tied 1-1 after six. San Francisco leads Atlanta 1-0 after 2.5. And Houston and Cincinnati, the Reds leading 2-1 after 3.5. San Diego and Los Angeles, Roberts against Foster. That winds it up on our Dugout Show. Stay tuned for the second game of the Pirates doubleheader.
It's time for Pirate Baseball. Hello, everyone, with Bob Prince and Nellie King. This is Gene Osborne speaking to you from Forbes Field in Pittsburgh, where we've set up our microphones to bring to you the second game of the doubleheader between the Pirates and the Cubs, and the final professional Pittsburgh Pirate baseball game to be played in Forbes Field after 61 years. Today's game will be sent your way by your colorful Pittsburgh paint dealer, where you can select from a rainbow of colors. Pittsburgh Paint, the product of PPG Industries. By Iron City Beer. Enjoy every game with the number one beer around here, Iron City. Once you get there, you will never want to leave. And by Atlantic Richfield Company and your local Atlantic dealer. Your Atlantic dealer keeps your car on the go with Red Ball service. This broadcast is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Pittsburgh Baseball Club, solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. And any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the description and accounts of this game without the express written consent of the Pittsburgh Baseball Club is prohibited. Both clubs have come back to the dugout. The batting order for the Chicago Cubs, the battery Milt Pappas on the mound and J.C. Martin behind the plate. For the Chicago Cubs, leading off and playing at shortstop will be Don Kessinger. Kessinger is short. Hitting second and playing at second base will be Paul Popovich. Popovich second. Batting third and in left field, Billy Williams. Williams in left. Batting fourth and at first base, Jim Hickman. Hickman at first. Hitting fifth and at third base, Ron Santo. Santo at third. Batting sixth and in right field, Johnny Callison. Callison in right. Hitting seventh and playing in center field will be Cleon James. Cleo James in center. Hitting eighth and doing the catching will be J.C. Martin. Martin catching. And batting ninth and doing the pitching will be the veteran right-hander, Milt Pappas. He will be making his first start since coming to Chicago from Atlanta. And for the Bucks, who get a fine ovation now as they come out of the dugout and head on to the field. Leading off and playing in center field will be Matty Alou. Batting second, the third baseman, Richie Hebner. Hitting third and in right field will be Al Oliver. Batting fourth and in left field, Willie Stargell. Batting fifth at first base, Bobby Robertson. Hitting sixth, the shortstop will be Gene Alley. Batting seventh and doing the catching will be Jerry May. Hitting eighth, the second baseman will be Bill Mazeroski. And batting ninth and doing the pitching will be Jim Nelson. Nelson comes into the ball game with a record of 2-0. By virtue of the victory in the first game of a doubleheader, a real thriller here, the Chicago Cubs and the Pittsburgh Pirates are divided by another full game. Which means that as of right now, the Cubs lead them by a game and a half. So that victory string was a big one. Extended to six. It's the longest winning streak for the Bucks this year. For the Cubbies now, they have lost 9 in a row. Nelson, who has turned everything around, last Monday night in the second game of the doubleheader, will toe the pitching rubber for this one this afternoon. Nellie?
Well, he sure did, and a real gutty performance. Just the kind of a fella that has the same attitude as Bob Moose. I don't think he's overwhelmed with victory, and he's not saddened by any kind of defeat or bad performance. He's kind of even-tempered. And Steve Blass put it pretty well last night. We're out at Green Gate Mall, and he's talking about Jim Nelson. He said he's the kind of a guy that you can hit with everything you got. You knock him down, he just keeps coming back. He doesn't know when he's whipped. And it's a kind of intangible you cannot scout for, but really great pitchers, and I think great athletes have. And I think this guy can be one of them. He doesn't have an overpowering fastball, but he's got that good palm ball that sets up the fastball good, and he challenges hitters from the time he walks on and around until he gets out.
Bob, we have 9 innings to go, and hopefully the Cubs will bow again to the Pittsburgh Pirates. But as you come on for the start of this game, there must be a little sadness in one Robert Prince after all these years.
Thank you, Gene. Nelly, hello again, everybody. There's more than a little sadness. It's a tremendous, overpowering amount of grief, in a sense. It's one of the real tough things to do because I realize this is where I received my start. In the late Rosie Rosewell, I've seen so many wonderful and great thrills. And to know now that I have approached the final, absolutely, totally final end of this ballpark is something. It's like losing a dear loved one, not quite as bad when you expect them to pass away, and when it does happen, you still are grief-ridden. All right, Kessinger in at 289, one homer and 18 runs batted in. Coaching at third is Phoenix Lowry over at first, Joey Amalfitano. Jimmy Nelson, 2-0 on the year. Now Nelson works, and the palm ball is hit foul wide at first, 0-2. Buckos won the front game 3-2, and that's now history. Bat is broken, and Kessinger needs a new wedge. I just had the pleasure of being on television in the Chicago area with Jack Brickhouse, the veteran Chicago caster, with whom I've had the pleasure of working several All-Star games, and the veteran voice of the Cubs, and we got kind of nostalgic because he and I both had some fine memories of this ballpark, and working here in an All-Star game together and elsewhere. But that's something. This is the end of the old lady. Ball outside, 1-2. And Horse Zarnicki, who's the groundkeeper par excellence, says University of Pittsburgh, and everything will sometime be over here watching it go. There's a base hit to left by Kessinger. Scooped up by Stargill. He goes to the opposite field off Nelson's palm ball. Significantly, Chicago's Cubs, who open here, close here, but their opening victory, 1909, was by a score of 3-2.
We've had two close games in the series yesterday afternoon and the first one today, Bob.
Yep. And the score in game one was 3-2 our way. So we paid him back. I'd like to do it again 3-2 and let him know we were any minute. Throw over to first base where Bobby Robertson grabs the ball. Kessinger's back. The batter's Paul Popovich, second baseman at 263. Three homers and 10 runs batted in. Stargell, Lou, and Oliver, the outfield. Hebner, Alley, Mazeroski, Robertson, the infield. A throw to first, and Kessinger just does scramble back. Left hand batting Paul Popovich. Jim Nelson checks at first, delivers. Swinging a foul tip, strike one. In behind the plate, Jerry May. He walked to drive in a big run in the late stages of the ball game, and then Justy got in some trouble, and Luke Walker came in, striking out Banks and grounding out a batter, and it was all over, 3-2, with the bases loaded. There's a ball hit off the right side, diving Mass can't get it. It's going to be on him for a base hit into right center. Kessinger's on his way into third. And so we now have runners at first and third with nobody out. And the batter will be the left fielder, Billy Williams, at 290, 19 homers and 61 runs batted in. Straight away in the outfield here now to Billy Williams. Billy in the front game, 1-for-4. Popovich, just playing in this game, did not appear in the first game. There's a drive into the gap into right center. They're after Nelson in a hurry. That'll drive in one run. Lou fires the ball into Mazeroski. First and third occupied, and we're up with action in our bullpen, Orlando Pena. Now the batter is Jim Hickman, who is 1-for-3 in the first game. He's batting .331, 18 homers, 51 runs batted in. So the Cubs take a lead here and threaten to top it open if they can. Orlando Pena shouldn't take a lot of loosening up, as he was up several times in the first game. But you'll have to stop Chicago here, if they possibly can, without further damage. First and third occupied and nobody out. The pitch. Home ball up high. One ball and no strikes. Kessinger opened up with a two-strike single through the gap in left. Popovich then singled into right center, and Williams did likewise, driving Kessinger home and putting Paul Popovich to third. Home ball, strike is called, 1-1. Hickman checking off. One ball and one strike. Fastball under the dirt, blocked down nicely by Jerry May, 2-1. Two balls, one strike. Jimmy Nelson in trouble. The right hand batting Hickman, the pitch. Just inside, and it's 3-1. Chicago leading here 1-0 in the second and the final game. Between these two teams are Pirates or anybody at Forbes. Three balls and a strike. Right hand batting Jim Hickman. Now a throw over to first base, and the batter or the runner there, Williams, is back. Three balls, one strike. Outfielder out of the left on Hickman. Now the look by Nelson, 3-1 pitch, and it's driven deep to left hooking, and it's going to be fouled. So we have a 3-2 count, and we'll watch Williams now. Popovich at third, and Williams at first. Cubs lead 1-0. We're in the top half of the first of game two. Pirates won the first game 3-2 before a sellout throng, standing room only crowd. And the pitch. There's the palm ball, hit toward third. Hebner gets it, holds the runner there. They come to the plate now, and they got the runner hung up as Nelson interferes. Now Hebner tags in and got another play. Now DeRosa's going to argue for interference on the part of Nelson. Called an interference on the part of Nelson, but I don't know whether or not the umpire feels that had anything to do with the double play. We're going to have to wait to see. Now, what happened was the ball was hit by Hickman down to Hebner. Hebner came up with it and held the runner Popovich for a moment. Then he threw to second base. That forced Williams 5-4. Maz came home with the ball, and as Popovich was coming down the line at third, he was bumped by Nelson coming across the cover on a play. And then they got him in the rundown. And it looks as though they're going to overrule DeRosa. But there was definitely bumping around on the part of Jimmy Nelson. As I called it for you when it occurred, the ruling will stand, and it'll be a double play. And Hickman will be at first base on what is a force play. And Williams will be out 5-4, and Popovich will be out 4-Hebner. With a 2 in there, catcher 4-2-5. So you have a very unusual double play, and they do not rule interference. Rather unusual. 2 out. Throw over to first, Hickman is back. So put Hickman on first on a force play. He raked Williams 5-4. Then have Maz come to the plate. Swing and a miss by Cento. And then he throws to Hebner, who puts out Popovich, who claimed he was interfered with as Nelson ran into him, coming over to cover up halfway between third and home. Ron Santo 0-for-3 in the first game, batting at 230. No balls, a strike. Palm ball inside, 1-1. I have to go on the assumption that the umpires, that I know they saw the bumping around. There any doubt about that bumping around business. The question is whether or not, in their opinion, the runner was obstructed in such a way that he could not either get home or go back to third. And it's obvious they have ruled that he could not do either. That's why I'm sure Al Bolick and third base umpire, or plate umpire Vargo, felt there was nothing to it. Two balls and a strike. He was so far down the line that there wasn't any way you could get him either way, that he could get back either way. But there was definite bumping. All right, two balls and a strike. Santo the batter. Now the 2-1 pitch. Over the plate for a strike, 2-2. So to Eddie Vargo of Butler, Pennsylvania, who has a youngster, saw many a game here at Forbes, goes the honor of calling the last game in the major league to be performed at Forbes Field. Two balls, two strikes. That won't make one whit of difference to him behind that plate. He just knows that two teams go on, and that's as far as he knows. From that time on, it's a ball or a strike, you're safe or you're out. Period. Two balls, two strikes. The look at first, the pitch to Santo. Ball outside, 3-2. Hickman will be up and gone. It's opened up with a single by Kessinger, single Popovich, single Williams, and Pena warming up. Now he's just lobbing with two down and Hickman, the runner at first. This represents right here, I would think, for Nelson, a very key out. Three balls, two strikes. Hickman takes off. Palm ball pops him up. And Hebner and Alley. And it's Alley saying, I got it. And he's there for the out. One run on three hits, no errors, and one left. And we go to the bottom of the first. Chicago leading 1-0.
The Arctic tundra, 12 inches of vegetation covering frozen ground 1,000 feet deep. When Atlantic Richfield Company discovered oil on Alaska's north slope, the place we call the Arco Circle, we found out if you disturb the tundra, you cause erosion. A tire track can cause a 50-foot gorge. We stopped driving our trucks across it and started experiments with 13 different kinds of grass seed so that if erosion occurred, we'd be ready. The seeding has to be done by hand. The fertilizing has to be done by helicopters, and the grasses will have to be incredibly hardy to make it. But if they do, there will be a way to protect the delicate tundra forever. At Atlantic Richfield Company, we're doing this because we believe drilling for oil and conservation go together. We went all the way to Alaska to drill for oil so we can provide your local Atlantic dealer with the finest Arco petroleum products for your car.
Let's pause for station identification on the Pirate Baseball Network.
It's a home run, 60-6. Bill Steinbach and the KDKA News team on KDKA Pittsburgh.
Bill Pappas, the right-hander, 2-2 on the hill. Matty Alou batting. Here's the pitch, and Alou combs a foul out of play. Alou 1-for-4 in the first game, batting at 276. Rusty Staub hit his 11th for Montreal in the 8th with one on. They lead 3-2. They're leading the Mets 3-2 and still batting. Now the 0-1. Ball inside, and a count of one ball and one strike. Sorry to learn of the passing of Jim Spots, the manager of WLEM. On our Pirate Radio Network, the manager, WLEM, that's our sincere sympathies along to his family. Curve ball for a strike, 1-2. At the end of 8 innings, in Montreal, the Montreal Expos lead the New York Mets 3-2. One ball, two strikes, the pitch, ball outside, 2-2. Carl Morton and Sadecki are hooked up there, and Morton has three outs to go to help the Buckos gain a game. Hear the crowd roar? Two balls, two strikes. Now Lou hits a high fly ball down the right field line. Callison running very hard, running. It's a foul ball as Callison can't get to it. Funny thing, I was just talking with Jack Brickhouse. We were going around the park looking at things that I'm going to sorely miss just in the way of views. And we showed the scoreboard and said, when we take this down, you'll have the only one left in the major leagues where you see the inning by inning. And see the charm of that with the crowd roaring when they see Montreal get two up there? Because the folks are cognizant of what we did in the first game that are here. They're aware of what we're doing in this game. A foul up along third. There may be a play for Santo this time. The ball drifting on him, and he snatches it. Beautiful play by Ron Santo. And when you saw the two come up here, you heard that crowd roar. Now when you really hear the roar is if they just start taking down the numbers and put it up Montreal 3 and the New York Mets 2. And the way this race is going, we need all the help we can get, but we can't do anything about what's going on in Montreal. What's going on right here, we got to worry about. Hebner, who is 1-for-3 in the first game, hitting a 309. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss, strike one. Cubs lead 1-0. Pirates won the first game 3-2. No balls, one strike. The outfielder out of the right. Sir Hebner. Al Oliver on deck. Pappas, the right-hander, works. And there's a high fly ball out in the center field. Cleo James drifting over to the left. He's there, and it's two out. Cubs one, and the Pirates nothing. The right fielder, Al Oliver, at 250. Five homers and 31 runs batted in. One thing I'm going to request of you, Nellie, and I'm going to want... I know you can prepare it in due time. I'd like a scorecard signed by everybody that played in this last game. We'll get Chicago when we get to Chicago. And then make me up a little plaque, if you will. Ball outside. I'd like to have the plaque, if you don't mind, of the last game I ever called here with the scoring of the game for both clubs signing in their proper position. Can you do that for me?
Be happy to do it, Rob.
You're making money hand over fist with these firsts. A foul out of play 1-1, but it's all right, old buddy.
Telling them all it costs, too.
No, I don't want you to do that. Take your markup. It's hard to get.
He's looking for a no-hitter every game, Bob.
You better not get one here. I won't speak to either of you guys if you throw up a no-hitter in this game. 2-1. I want to walk out of here saying I never saw a no-hitter in this ballpark. You join me in that, Arthur? We don't want Lady Forbes to give up a no-hitter here, do we? Two balls and a strike. Not this far. Not after 61 years. No way. 2-1 pitch. And a swing, and it's 2-2. Well, we've already lost our chance to get one. Now, all the first hit we get, and we can breathe easy. Come on, Al. Get it over with. Two balls, two strikes, two out. The pitch. Turned it over outside, 3-2. Remember, I asked Hank Bauer one day what Pappas threw. He said, fastball slider. Gets it up, it's out of the park. I'd like to see him get a slider up if he still throws it. Three balls, two strikes. Milt Pappas working to Al Oliver the pitch. And there she goes. High, fly, and kiss it goodbye.
Second race at the Meadows tomorrow night.
Want me to come over? I haven't missed so far today. I've been pretty fortunate. A slider up. Here's Willie the Starge at 245. High fly ball. Deep left field. Billy Williams back. We'll have a play. And that will retire the side. There will never be a no-hitter at Forbes Field. One run on one hit. A homer by Oliver. At the end of one, we're tied up 1-1. Did you ever have a girl show up in a wig and not recognize her? Well, here's a story somewhat like that. Some people have received new credit cards and failed to recognize them. And, of course, this is understandable. The big name on the card, and incidentally, it's a handsome card, but the big name is Arco, A-R-C-O. They didn't realize that this new Arco card was a replacement for their old Atlantic credit card. After Richfield and Atlantic merged to become the Atlantic Richfield Company, it made sense to have one national credit card good at thousands of service stations from coast to coast. Makes it easy for everyone, including the people at Hertz, Ramada and Treadway Inns, Hyatt House Hotels, Hyatt Lodges, Travel Lodge Motels, Friendship Inns, Emmons Walker Inns Incorporated, and Superior Motels. They all under this new card. Now they have only one name to remember, and so do you. ARCO. It stands for all the good products and services you get at your Atlantic station. Here we go now into the second inning. Tied up 1-1. Johnny Callison. Standing in. Johnny had a 0-for-3 day in the front game. He's batting at 247. 8 homers, 34 runs batted in. A swing and a miss. Strike one. Those of you who might have missed it earlier, Roberto Clemente was just made a magnificent gesture. The autographed baseballs for Art McKinnon, Gene, and Nellie and me, and I'm quite sure for several other members around here, he sent them up to him with personally autographed baseballs with a message for each one of us for what either one of us, particularly meant to him. To Gene, one thing, and of course, and he's only known Gene a little bit, to Nellie, a long time, to me, for some things that I've been involved with him, and it's just a treasure thing that we'll really treasure, and that's just the word for it, treasure. Callison, Alloway, what a thoughtful individual. The great one, Arriba Clemente. Vera just walked in with the youngsters. I would sort of suspect, somehow or other, Roberto will play in the last game at Forbes Field, wouldn't you, Nellie?
I'd imagine he's going to make some sort of an appearance. If it's we're out in front, you can bet he's going to be defensively in the outfield. And if we're behind, he's going to be doing some pinch hitting. I hope it's the first rather than the latter.
You've got to think positively, my boy. Positively. One ball, two strikes to John Callison. Sails it all the way to the backstop, 2-2. Well, in the first game, we had a problem with regard to the greasy kid stuff, and umpire Al Barrick went out and ran his hands through the hair and the cap of one Regan. There's a strikeout swinging by Callison. First strikeout for Nelson. So we're moving along here right now, and the batter's going to be Cleo James, batting at 198. He had two hits. He was the fellow, really, it was Pittsburgh 3 and Cleo James 2 in the first game. He scored a run and drove in a run. So that he is responsible for the two tallies. Billy Hands lost a tough ball game. But the Bucks won a big one when they held him off in the ninth. Cleo right in batter. Punched the ball. It's off to the right foul. Strike one.
Sign out there, somebody's not going to give it up. Bed sheet hanging down, looks like Shea said. It says Forbes Field forever.
Well, I'll tell you, it's been great for 61 years, but it's not going to be forever. Nothing ever is. Progress will prevail. But this will be a beautiful scene that we'll remember forever, one and one, and the fans that have been here will, while you'll enjoy tremendously Freever Stadium, and believe me, you will, it's an awe-inspiring sight. Here's the 1-1. Foul ball, fly down left side. 1-2. There has never been a ballpark game back. This could be the one that he had the two hits with. And they're going to give him another bat. Leo DeRoche is sending it down to him. That's all he wanted was his own bat back. Leo DeRoche sent the back down. See? Just wait a while. You'll find it happening. I'll tell you, one of the tragic things would be if somebody were somehow or other able to take Billy Mazeroski's game glove, the one he's kept with him for years. They don't make them like that anymore. Here, would you, don't even. Send him. Get down, Nellie, and make escort him off there. Here's a 2-2 pitch just underneath 3-2. Say that would be a great souvenir, but let me tell you what it does. It belongs to the nation. When Maz is finished with it, it'll go to Cooperstown, and that's where it belongs, where they can all see it. Foul it right out of play. Then I'm quite confident that Bill will send that glove to Cooperstown. It belongs up there. It looks like a glove used in 1909. I've never seen a smaller glove in my life on a major league ball player. Three balls, two strikes, one out. We're in the second inning, tied up 1-1. Pirates won the first game 3-2. On deck is J.C. Martin. Jimmy Nelson working, 3-2 pitch to Cleo James. Foul ball to the right side, out of play. Cleo's choking up just a little bit on his bat. He's not trying for Pumpsville. He's just trying to make contact. Man, you don't think we're going to be in the middle of a hornet's nest when we come flying around into New York next Monday, tomorrow night. 3-2 pitch, a fly ball toward left coming up for it. Will Stargell has it. I can't wait for Gene Jarvis and that magnificent organ music at Shea Stadium. And 55,000 people going wild. And that'll be about how many will be there when we play the Mets tomorrow night and Tuesday night, and then again on Wednesday afternoon. But what if everything goes the way it's going right now? We'll be for the lead in the Eastern Division. Cardinals beat the Phillies 5-4. Pitch to J.C. Martin, batting at 149. One ball, no strike. Sawed him off inside, 2-0. Ladies and gentlemen, Montreal has beaten the Mets. That's 2 out of 3 for them over the Mets. They win it 3-6-0, 2-12-1. Morton beats Sadecki, 27,000 at Park Series. There's a high fly to left field. Stargell got it. And folks think we're on fire. Three up and three down, and we go to the bottom of the second, 1-1. Here's Bobby Robertson, didn't play in the first game at 296, 10 homers, and 35 runs batted in. The Pirates won the first game of the doubleheader, 3-2, to extend their winning streak to 6 straight. At the same time, handed the Cubs their 9th consecutive loss. Now, at the end of 2 complete innings of the second game of the doubleheader, the game is all tied at 1. As we go to the top of the third, Mill Pappas will lead it off. The first pitch from Nelson is outside for a ball. 1-0. Nobody on and nobody out. Young right-hander delivers. Pappas swings, broken bat blooper. On the edge of the outfield grass, the shortstop makes the catch. Looking right into the brilliant sunshine, Allie flipped those glasses from under the visor down very quickly and caught the ball. For the first out of the inning, here's Don Kessinger. Kessinger led off the ball game with a base hit in the left field. He has scored the Chicago run. Kessinger in the first game went nothing for 4. He has 2 hits now and 9 trips to the plate in the series. He leads the Chicago Cubs in 3 base hits with 7. Kessinger the batter. Third baseman Hebner will play him up on the grass. Right side of the infield, playing about straight away. The outfield, however, playing for him to hit the ball late and into left. Palm ball is fouled over here to our left. 1 strike to Kessinger. Lowry coaching at third base and Amalfitano at first. Bucks are set up defensively. Stargell in left, Alou in center, and Oliver in right.
40,918. That's the attendance here. On a drive, hit the right, scoop by the scoop. Al Oliver on a fine play. He came charging in to catch that sinking smash off the bat of Kessinger. He scooped it right up into that big trapper's mitt of his for the second out of the inning. Two up and two down, and the batter now is Paul Popovich. The largest crowd since 1956, looking on this afternoon.
Second baseman, Paul Popovich.
Batter now is Paul Popovich. Pitch is a strike call. Here's the fellow who turned it all around for the Bucks last Monday night. Palm ball is low to the left-handed batter. Ball one and strike one. Two out, nobody on in the top of the third. Cubs have out hit the Bucks 3-1, but the game is tied at one. And here's the 1-1 pitch. High, palm ball, beauty that time over the outside part of the plate. One ball and two strikes. Outfield straight away for Popovich, who did not play in the first game. Backed away from a breaking ball in close. Ball two, strike two, two out and nobody on. Popovich batting at 263. Singled into right center field his first time up against Nelson. The 2-2 pitch backs him out of the batter's box in a hurry. 3-2. Nelson had a little zip to that fastball of his on that delivery. Ninth meeting of the season between the two teams. Series is tied at four. Nelson reads the sign. The 3-2 pitch. Low into the dirt. Popovich tosses the bat away and heads toward first. That's the first walk given up by Nelson in this ball game. A two out. Annie Oakley to Popovich. Here's Billy Williams. Williams singled into center field in the first inning to drive in the Chicago run. Playing in his 1,052nd consecutive game. Nelson will work with a runner at first. Robertson will hold the inside corner against him. The pitch to Williams is outside for a ball. 1-0. Outfield shaded toward right and right center. Runner leads at first. Nelson looks over the shoulder, draws the arms in. Here's the pitch. Ball is swung on and hit into right. It's in the field of play as Oliver, in the brilliant sunshine, hauls it in to retire the tie. In the third, no run, no hit, no errors, one walk, one man left on. We go to the home half of the third at Forbes Field of the second game of the doubleheader, and our game is tied at one.
What would you think of a restaurant that guaranteed good service or your money back? You'd be ahead of the game either way, right? Well, that's pretty much what happens with Atlantic's Red Ball service. If your Red Ball service dealer doesn't clean your windshield or offer to check your oil, weather permitting, he will refund the price of your gasoline. Red Ball service is your Atlantic dealer's way of assuring you of good service, so that if you are on a trip, you know you're going to get the same good service you get in your neighborhood. So you get the same service from a dealer who doesn't know you as you do from the guy who's known you for years. Now, the details may vary slightly from state to state, but the quality of Red Ball service never varies. If it does, you get your gasoline for free. Atlantic Red Ball service. You're ahead of the game, whether you get it or not.
The crowd now hearing the announcement from the PA announcer, Art McKinnon, that the crowd at 40,918 is the fourth largest regular season crowd. If you count World Series, it's the fifth largest in the history of Forbes Field. Here's Mazeropski. He's played before them all. Pitch is cut out and missed for a strike, and it's nothing in one. One for four in the first game. Maz is one out of six on the series. Pappas throws in close for a ball. 1-1. Sano at third, Kessinger the shortstop, Popovich at second with Hickman at first. Williams, James, and Callison around the infield. Martin gives the sign, and Milt Pappas gets ready to go to work. 1-1 to the batter. Sends a breaking ball outside. Two balls and a strike. Frank Osiak coaching at third, Don Leppert at first. Nails, waves that bat back and forth a couple of times. Now holds it steady as Pappas works 2-1. Ball is cap foul. 2-2 to Mazeroski. Nelson in the on-deck circle will be up next, and then Matty Alou in the hole. Cubs scored in the top of the first. Three consecutive hits, and Oliver tied it up with one swing of a bat in the home half of the first for his sixth home run of the season and his 32nd run batted in. Low for a ball. Swing runs out on Mazeroski, 3-2. The crowd had a lot to cheer about in the first game, and they're ready to let it all out here in this encounter. Here's the 3-2 pitch. Swing and a foul that will come back onto the screen. Still 3-2 on the batter. Calling balls and strikes for the second game and the final game in the history of Forbes Field, Vargo. Behind the plate, Fire at first, Fellow at second, Barlick at third. Bill Pappas leans for the weight, picks up the sign, kicks and throws, and Maz strikes out. Went for the breaking ball that time, didn't get it. That's the first strikeout for Pappas. One out in the home half of the third, and the batter is the pitcher, Jim Nelson. Nelson, 2-for-6 at the plate, batting .333. As a pitcher, he has won two and lost none. Fastball pops in for a strike, and it's nothing and one. Nelson chokes up a bit on the handle of the bat. Outfield looking at him for the first time. They're playing shallow toward right. Fastball. He had a great cut at that one. No balls, two strikes. Steps out for a moment and then digs back in. Pappas works 0-2 to the batter. Ball is hit late to the right side and foul. Rolls just beyond the first base dugout. Tony Perez has just hit his 27th home run of the season for Cincinnati in the ninth inning, nobody on, 3-2 Cincinnati. The game is being played in Houston. The strike two pitch, a ball outside, teased him with a curveball that time down around the knees. It just missed, one ball, two strikes. Rhythmic applause beginning to generate now through the stadium as Nelson swings and misses. He's out on strikes as we pause for station identification along the Pittsburgh Pirates radio network. Standing, Jack Wheeler from midnight to 6 a.m. on KKA Pittsburgh. Here is Matty Alou, two out, nobody on, in the last half of the third. Tied at one. Swinging on the first pitch. He pops it up into short center. The shortstop going out, center fielder coming on, and the center fielder comes on to make the catch to retire the side. In the third, three up, three down, no runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on. At the end of three innings of play in the second game of the doubleheader, Chicago 1, Pittsburgh 1.
Hey there, are you game for a quiz? Well, then listen carefully because the question won't be repeated. What does ARCO stand for? Now, that's spelled A-R-C-O. Here are a few hints. And hint number one would be this. Many of you recently received a credit card with the name ARCO on top. It replaced your Atlantic card. Hint number two. The ARCO card is honored by Hertz, Ramada, and Treadway Inns, Hyatt House Hotels, Hyatt Lodges, Travelodge Motels, Friendship Inns, Emmons Walker Inns, and Superior Motel. Well, the time's up. Anyone who figured out that ARCO stands for the Petroleum Products of the Atlantic Richfield Company gets an A. You see, when the Atlantic Richfield Company was formed, it made sense to have one national credit card good at thousands of service stations coast to coast. The name selected for the card was ARCO. And if you'd like to carry one, applications are waiting for you at all Atlantic stations. If there are no more questions, then class is dismissed.
First three innings were brought to you by Atlantic Richfield Company and your local Atlantic dealers. These next three innings are brought to you by Iron City Beer. Have an Iron City right now. The batter is Hickman here in the top of the fourth inning. Pitch is a strike called. That was a fastball, knee high. Outfield is shaded toward left and left center. The gap is in
right center field and down the right field line. Swing and a foul back. Nelson picked up the sign from catcher Jerry May. The pitch to Hickman. It's outside off the corner. Oh. The count on Hickman. Ball two and strike two. Nelson very deliberate. Delivers. The ball is swung on. Broken bat fly ball into right, left center field. And Alou has to angle away. Turn his left shoulder into the bright sun and then sort of catch it going away. One out. The batter will be Ron Fennell. Fennell popped to the shortstop in the first inning. So he has nothing for one against Nelson. He has one hit in eight trips to the plate in this series after being shut out in three tries in the first game. Swing and a miss. Nelson gave him a fastball. Nothing in one. California has edged Kansas City 2-1. Murphy the winner, Rooker the loser. The pitch to Santo. Fastball is low. Ball one and strike one. Light breeze now blowing the American flag out toward right center. Coming across the scoreboard and out toward the seats. All the folks jammed in the double-deck right field area. Swing and a foul onto the screen. One ball and two strikes. Home plate umpire looking over that baseball, and he'll throw it out of the game. A new one has gone to the mound. Cubs are 21-16 at home, 14-17 on the road for a 35-33 record. Palm ball fouled away to the right side. Ball is into the third deck, and we'll give that fan an error because it dropped all the way down below. Still 1-2 on the batter. Sano digging in and waiting. Nelson kicks and throws. Curve is low. 2-2. One out, nobody on as the Cubs bat in the fourth inning and the game is tied at one. The 2-2 pitch. Curve way outside. May had to slide out in a hurry that time. There isn't anybody on, so there's no damage done. Full count of 3-2. With two out in the third inning, Nelson walked his first and only batter thus far in the ballgame. He gave a walk to Popovich on a 3-2 pitch. Now, for the second time, he has gone 3-2 on a Chicago batter. Right-hander delivers. The ball is swung on, hit toward right. Going back is Oliver. Still backpedaling. He's there. He made a Kalani type catch right in front of his body about belt high after he got to the warning track. Two up and two down. And the batter will be Johnny Callison.
Oliver gives you the impression he's starting to like to play in the outfield. He did a great play on that. He's just kind of routine.
No, I kind of had that feeling because he seemed to be a little more freer when he's playing out in left field, too. Callison struck out in the second inning. Nelson has but one strikeout, and it was against this left-handed batter. This is outside, a little high, and off the corner for a ball. One and nothing. Montreal defeated New York 3-2. St. Louis down Philadelphia 5-4. The pitch. Swing and a miss. That's a fastball right up around his shoulders that time. He didn't get it. Bucks won the first game 3-2. Picked up a full game now that New York has lost. Swing and a miss. One ball and two strikes to the batter. Callison was shut out in three tries in the first game. He's now 1-for-8 against Pirate pitching in this series, which started yesterday afternoon with a Pirate victory. This is low. Ball two and strike two on Callison. Bucks have won six in a row, four from the Cardinals, and yesterday in the first game this afternoon from Chicago. Fastball was way over the batter's head. He has gone to 3-2 now to Callison. On a 3-2 pitch to Sano. Sano hit a fly ball caught by Oliver and Wright. Now the 3-2 pitch to Callison. He takes ball four in close. Second walk issued in the ball game by Nelson, and it brings up Cleo James. 2-for-3 in the front game, flying to the left fielder his first time around against Nelson. Boston defeated New York 5-3 in the American League. Minnesota 9, Chicago 1. California 2, Kansas City 1, as we mentioned. Nelson will be working with the runner at first. Callison takes the short lead. Robertson holding the inside corner against him. Set by Jimmy. And the pitch. Low for a ball. 1-0. Stargell in straightaway left field. Alou has moved way over to his right or toward left center field. There's a tremendous gap over second base into straightaway center and into right center field. Oliver all alone out there in right. There's the set by Nelson, the pitch. Breaking ball off the corner. Ball two and no strike. Nelson looks over the left shoulder as the runner takes a short lead. He stays. The ball is whipped foul through the third base coaching box, off the railing, and into fair territory. Time will be held up while Stargell gets the ball. He flicks it into the Chicago bullpen down the left field line. Two balls and a strike to Cleo James. Big series beginning tomorrow night in New York between the Pittsburgh Pirates and the New York Mets. Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday afternoon. A throw to first, the runner is back. Thursday will be an open date, and the next weekend in Chicago and on to Philadelphia, closing out before the All-Star break in St. Louis. Pitches! Hit! Right at the batter. He ducked underneath it, turned his head, and hit him on his batting helmet, and he is all right. He'll go to first. He couldn't seem to get away from that delivery at all. So now we have Johnny Callison in scoring position at second. Cleo James hit on the batting helmet, the runner at first, two men on, two out. May has called time, and he has gone to the mound to talk to Nelson. Outfield will play straight away for J.C. Martin, making his first appearance in the series. Batting at 149, one home run, four runs batted in. Hyatt has been catching in the series yesterday afternoon in the first game of the doubleheader today. Orlando Pena walking around in the Pirate bullpen. Ricketts, the catcher, also loosening up, and believe Joe Gibbon will go to work. It is Joe Gibbon loosening up for Pittsburgh. Pitch from Nelson is outside for a ball. 1-0. Fans are getting a bit anxious now, and time has been called as the pitching coach, Don Osborne, will go to the mound to talk to the young right-hander. Nellis, it's the first time that he has been in a situation like that since he has been called up from Columbus.
He's been able to throw strikes, and that was the thing that has really pleased Danny Murchaugh, I think, and of course Osborne, too. But the ability to stay out in front of the hitters, and he's struggling with control. You're going to run into those kind of games. You don't get shutouts every time. He's going to find that out himself.
Well, right now, it's a 1-1 ball game with the Cubs batting in the top of the fourth. The first two men were retired, Hickman and Sano. Then a walk to Callison, and James was hit by a pitch. Runners lead at first and second. Time about to be resumed. J.C. Martin waiting on a 1-0 pitch. Here it comes. It's low into the dirt. Two balls, no strikes. In the first game, Moose started, then Justy, and then Walker. Now Joe Gibbon began to loosen up. Set by Nelson, and the pitch. Fastball is high and outside. Three balls, no strike. Another wide one would load him up and then bring up the pitcher, Milt Pappas. Down through the years, as I remember Milt from Baltimore in the American League, he is an excellent hitting pitcher. He's been around in the Major League Baseball for some 14 seasons now. There's a strike called, and it's 3-1. He was involved in the trade between Baltimore and Cincinnati. He was going to Cincinnati, and Frank Robinson going from the Reds to the Baltimore Orioles. Runners lead at first and second. The pitch. Swing and a ground ball foul. Something will have to give now. A runner at first, a runner at second. There are two outs, and ball three. Strike two count to the left-handed hitting J.C. Martin. Time held up momentarily as that ball came off the wall, rolled out into the playing area, retrieved by Luke Walker. So Nelson goes to the back part of the mound, goes to the rousing sack, squeezes it a couple of times. Now steps back atop the pitching rubber. Runners lead at first and second. J.C. Martin waiting on a ball three, strike two pitch. The look to second. Here's the pitch. The runners go. He almost threw it away. That ball was high and away. Jerry May was lucky to even get it. The bases are loaded. Callison at third. Cleo James at second. J.C. Martin on a 3-2 pitch is at first, and the batter is Milt Pappas. Pappas just acquired from Atlanta steps in. The game is tied at one. Runners lead at first, second, and third. Nelson has the windup restored, and he will use the windup. Coming down the line a good distance is Callison. Swing and a miss. Callison, veteran performer, figuring that maybe by darting toward the plate, then putting on the brakes and heading back toward third, he could force Nelson into committing a balk. This fella has a lot of poise. Now he steps off the pitching rubber and looks over there, so Callison goes back. You'll probably get the message that this kid has a lot of know-how. A fly ball in the center. Should end the inning without any trouble. Alou is coming in. He's got it. And it retires the side. So Nelson gets out of a tough spot in the fourth inning. No runs, no hits, no errors. And three men left on the bases. We go to the last half of the fourth inning. The game is tied at one.
I'd like a few words with you Buck fans about the fine art of beer drinking. Not just any beer drinking. I'm talking about good beer drinking. That's Iron City beer drinking. You know, some people insist that all beers taste the same. But you Iron City beer drinkers and I know different. Because that Iron City taste is different. You can tell by looking at Iron City's rich amber color. Iron City delivers your kind of taste. Bold and refreshing, cold and alive. Just ask any Iron City drinker. He'll tell you that Iron City's taste stays alive. Glass after glass, bottle after bottle, can after can. That's why Iron City is the number one beer in Pittsburgh, outselling all other beers combined. So the next time your thirst comes up, wet it down with Iron City. Hey, once you get there, you'll never want to leave.
In the last of the fourth inning, Hebner, Oliver, and Stargell will be the first three men to go against Bill Pappas. You haven't heard, you just dialed across. The Pirates won the first game, 3-2. And are tied in this game at one. Here is Hebner, and the folks would like to get something started now with that rhythmic applause. 40,000 plus. There's a foul back to the screen. One strike on Hebner. Hebner applied to the center fielder in the first inning. He had 1-for-3 in the first game. And 3 out of 8 now against Cub pitching in the series. For the year, Richie is hitting at 309. He leads the team in doubles with 16. The strike one pitch. Curve bends in a little close to the left-handed batter. Ball one and strike one. Cincinnati has defeated Houston 3-2. The difference in the ball game for Rez is 27th home run of the season. He leads the major leagues in home runs. Change up is popped into the air down the third base line. Coming down the line is Fano, and he makes the catch. One out. It will bring up Al Oliver. Oliver ties the game in the home half of the first inning with his 6th home run of the season. And his 32nd run batted in. Oliver now with two hits and eight trips to the plate in the series. Left-handed batter, batting 240, 250 for the year, 250. Ooh, he is just able to get away from a pitch that backed him off the plate after stepping up to the delivery in a hurry. He moved into the pitch and was real lucky to get out of there. He's still out of the batter's box, leaning on the bat, and Pappas off the skin part of the mound, walking to the grass, roughing up the baseball. Outfield around toward right and right center. The pitch to Oliver. Swing and a foul off to the left. Ball was in on his hands that time. I don't imagine, Nellie, that he'll see anything outside from Pappas for the rest of the afternoon.
I don't know. He's been pitched tight before, and a lot of guys try to brush him off the plate. And he doesn't back up on anybody. A very aggressive hitter.
Pappas works, and it's outside for a ball. 2-1.
I think that first pitch may have been a retaliation sort of a shot. Cleo James got hit. Those things have been known to happen in baseball games before.
Yeah. The pitch. Swing and a foul over here to the left and out of play. Ball two, strike two to the batter, Al Oliver. One out, nobody on in the last half of the fourth inning. Oliver waiting on a 2-2 pitch. Pappas winds and delivers. Swing and a foul back to the screen. It's still 2-2 on the batter. Bill Pappas picks up the sign. The right-hander delivers. Swing and a foul tip. Pitch was down around the knees, sinking away that time, and Oliver was able to get just a piece of it. Still, ball two and strike two. Willie Stargell in the on-deck circle to the right will be up next. And in a final, Cleveland over Detroit, 8-2. McDowell won his 11th ball game against four defeats, and he's from Pittsburgh. Wilson, the loser, 4-5. Ball is full foul into the seats, just atop the first base dugout. Still 2-2 on the batter. 40,918 looking on this afternoon. Fourth largest crowd during a regular season, fifth largest if you count the World Series. Pappas works 2-2 to the batter. Pops it up into left. Coming hard is Williams. Sano and Kessinger going out. Kessinger, the shortstop, cuts across and makes the catch. Two up, two down in the last half of the fourth inning. The batter now is Willie Stargell. Big Will is way overdue. He leads the team in home runs with 14. He has 37 runs batted in. He flies to the left fielder in the first inning. So he is looking for his first hit in this series. Strike to Big Will. Nothing in one. Outfield around toward right and very deep. The pitch. Right to the outside corner. Didn't get it. Ball one and strike one. In winning six in a row, the Bucks are four over 500 now. They've won 39 and lost 35. They've won more games in the Eastern Division than any other team. The 1-1 pitch. Swing and a miss. Outside, about letter high. One ball, two strikes to Stargell. Willie digs back in. Pappas reads the sign. Kicks and throws 1-2 to the batter. Let up. And he strikes him out on a called strike. Third strikeout for Pappas. Changed up on it completely that time. In the inning, three up, three down. No runs, no hits, no errors. Nobody left on. Through four innings of the second game of the doubleheader, Chicago 1, Pittsburgh 1.
You know, I heard of an interesting thing that happened in a tavern the other night. An Iron City drinker said he could taste the difference between Iron City beer and any other brand. Well, his friend said that it just couldn't be done. So they covered his eyes and he put three glasses on the table. Then they pulled a little trick on him and filled all three glasses with Iron City beer. But you know what? They didn't pull the wool over his taste. He said all three were Iron City. Really knew his iron, huh? But most Iron City drinkers do. They can recognize that bold, cold taste anywhere, anytime. Because Iron City drinkers expect a lot of taste from a beer. And Iron City delivers it. Glass after glass after glass. Iron City delivers a taste a guy can really sink his thirst into. Find out what good beer taste is all about. Taste Iron City. Hey, once you get there, you'll never want to leave.
Second game of the doubleheader, the final game at Forbes Field. 61-year history, and the Pirates winning the front game of the doubleheader 3-2. We're tied 1-1 into the top of the fifth. And the leadoff batter, Don Kessinger, will step in for the third time in this game. Singled and scored a lone run for the Cubs in the first inning. And was robbed of a possible base hit in the third inning on a good grab by Al Oliver, a shoestring catch in the third. Kessinger has made himself into a very fine major league ball player. Always had the good defensive tools, but went to switch hitting has become very effective from the left side. Proves it with a looping single into center field, and he is 2-for-3. That's the first hit that Jim Nelson has given up since the first inning. Paul Popovich from neighboring West Virginia steps in. He singled in the first inning and was out on the tail end of a disputed double play. He walked back in the third. Tim Toomey and his son taking in the final game at Forbes. Palm ball by Nelson is down low. Ball one. Jimmy's only had one two-three inning. That was back in the second. Callison, James, and Martin went out. Strikeout and two fly balls to left. And as Rob likes to say, he's been kind of running through the raindrops here. Throw to first. Kessinger back safely. Bobby Moose, Dave Justy, and Luke Walker in that order. And Walker, with a great clutch performance, nailed down the first win. Throw to first and a good play by Robertson, thrown behind the runner. Bobby had the backhand of the ball to prevent it from going into the box seat. Cubs, by nature, are not a good running ball club. They don't have any abundance of speed. Ball chopped off the first base side. It's going to curl foul. Now Kessinger at second will come back to first. Giants a couple of years ago are the kind of ball club that very seldom did any running, but they've picked up some speed with Bobby Bonds in the lineup now. A little bit of a change in theirs, but Cubs so far have had only 12 stolen bases. Pirates have had 28. Ball looped to shallow left. Stargell coming on quickly. He has time to get there, and he's got it for the first out. One out. The score is tied 1-1. We're in the top of the fifth of the second game of the doubleheader at Forbes. The runner is first, Kessinger, and the batter, Billy Williams. Williams single, drove in Kessinger with the first run.
I want you to know, sir, I know how smart you feel. Chancellor Wesley Posberger of the University of Pittsburgh. I said, what are you putting in here? He said, you're sitting in the middle of our law school right now, so
you
if you feel more learned, go right ahead, Nellie.
Rob should know all about law school. Billy Williams takes the pitch down low. One ball and no strike. Chancellor Wesley Posbar here to take in the final game. Of course, this is the property of the University of Pittsburgh, and this is going to be a law school, I understand. Starting this fall, they're going to do some construction. Fly ball deep to left, going back at Stargell, still going in. He's near the wall. He makes the grab. No, he drops the ball. Holding it second is Kessinger. He'll come to third. The long throw, it is not in time. He flies ahead of the tag. Hebner arguing now with Barlick, and he's jaw to jaw with him. He said he came off the bag. Now Barlick is right on top of him. Hebner is really fuming with Al Barlick at third base. Stargell had the ball in his glove, and as we mentioned before, the sun has become a very serious problem for outfielders right now. 5:30 or close to it here Lou had troubles earlier and Stargell that time caught the ball over his shoulder like a football player going for a touchdown. The ball bobbled out of his glove. He was about 3 or 4 feet from the wall. Picked it up, hustled the throw to third base with a strong throw. Almost got Kessinger. It's going to be ruled a double. Kessinger goes to third base. Williams moves on into second base. The batter coming up is Jimmy Hickman. He's 0 for 2, but they're going to intentionally walk him to take their shot with Ronnie Santo. Stargell had room, had the ball in his glove, but dropped it. The walk will be the fourth of the ball game, given up by Jimmy Nelson. This is the first intentional walk. And that'll do it. Ball four. So they load it up. Hickman at first base. Billy Williams at second. And Don Kessinger has moved to third. Ron Santo, who is 0 for 2 in this ballgame, flied to right field his last time up. Well, the pitch came back with some football last year to finish respectable under Carl DePasqua. They're looking for good things in 70. The Penguins had a great year, and we're hoping this is the start of something big for the Bucks right now. The Mets lost this afternoon in Montreal 3-2. Here's the pitch to Santo. Off the fist, foul back out of play. Only one out. The Pirates are hoping for the strikeout here by Nelson or possibly the ground ball double play. Not a whole lot of speed at Hickman at first base or Santo at the plate. But there's an awful lot of power at the plate, and Santo has only hit 7 this year. Palm ball just inside. 1-1. Rick Reichard has hit his 9th and the 12th with 1 on. Washington wins that ball game in 12 innings, 4-3. Thinking positive for 6-4-3. Here's the 1-1. Changeup is just a little bit high. Boy, Santo just checked off that pitch. Almost in at the letters. 2 balls and a strike. A lot of people you haven't seen in a while dropping by to see this game. Chuck Boyle, former cameraman at KDKA and now with NBC, was here. Chopping ball to short. Alley on 2 hops. The Mazzarocchi to throw the first. It is in time for 2. Nelson pitches out of it. A 6-4-3 double play. Listen to the crowd. Fifth inning for Chicago. No runs. 2 hits. No errors. A strand affair. We go to the bottom of the fifth. It's still tied 1-1.
You know, one of the sweetest sounds a batter can hear is that solid whack, that big crack of that ball in that bat right on the fat part. When he hears that, he knows he's got a shot at sending it out of there all the way. Now, there's a sound that's music to a beer drinker's ears, too. The sound of an Iron City snap-top can. When you hear that pop, you know what's coming. Iron City's great beer taste. Each snap-top can packs 12 big ounces of bold, cold Iron City beer. Every sip of every can is alive with a taste you can really sink your thirst into. And those Iron City six-packs are pure convenience. They're quick to chill, easy to carry, mighty easy to store. So the next time your thirst comes up, crack open a cold can of Iron and try the taste that's made Iron City, Pittsburgh's number one beer. Iron City. Hey, once you get there, you'll never want to leave.
$40,918 buzzing here at Forbes Field. The final game at Lady Ford. We'll close it down today. And boy, they're sure enjoying a whale of a ball game in the second game, much like they did in the front. Pirates won the front game 3-2. 6 in a row we've won. Robertson leads it off. Curveball by Pappas is outside. Ball one. Fans trying to get something started with some rhythmic applause. I don't think that a rooting crowd doesn't help a ball club. 1-0 pitch. Lined in the hole. Run in the left field. Base hit for Robertson. That's only the second hit off Mel Pappas. The other one left the ballpark, as Bob described, on a home run by Al Oliver with two down in the first. Pappas has been tough, mixing the pitches effectively. Slider, fastball, and a pitch we haven't seen him use a whole lot. A changeup, a half screwball type of thing. Gene Alley, who can do a lot of things with the bat. He's running this time. Off the first base side, it's going to curl foul, picked up by Jimmy Hickman. Now Alley was running. He's had a look, however, at third base coach Frank Osiak. Bob Robertson, surprisingly, for his size, 200 pounds, just a little bit over, can pick him up and put him down pretty good. And Alley's ability to punch the ball to right field is something that Murtaugh might be thinking about. Cubs are playing him that way in the outfield. Cleo James, about 10 feet to right center. He's going. The pitch is foul tip, held by the catcher, third to second, not in time. He steals it. The hit and run was on. Robertson beat the throw to second by J.C. Martin. It was a foul tip held by Martin, but he didn't get Robertson at second. Bobby will surprise you. You recall in a recent homestand, he went from first to third on a wild pitch. Now the go-ahead runner at second base. Nobody out. Bottom half of the fifth, tie ball game 1-1. Alley now will try to get him to third. Here's the pitch. Pumming and miss. Foul tip. Not held by Martin. Now the count holds it, nothing in two. Bob Remark will be in New York tomorrow, Shea Stadium. Gene was checking the won and loss percentages. The Mets now, the loss are at 5-35. We're going to win this second ball game. We'll be at 5-3-3. Here's the pitch. Off the fifth, popped up on the first base side, giving chase with Hickman in foul territory. And he's got it. So Robertson forced to hold at second base as Alley pops out to the first baseman, Jim Hickman. Let's pause for station identification on the Pirates Baseball Network.
Covering all bases, a topic on perspective from the 5 to 8 p.m. on
K.A. Pittsburgh. Jerry May, the batter, takes the pitch by Pappas. Down low, ball one. Jerry May walked in the front ball game in the eighth inning with the bases loaded off. Phil Regan produced the winning run in that one, 3-2. Cuts on a slider, doesn't get it. Evens the count as one ball and one strike. Tell you, Pappas has had excellent control in this ball game. Has not walked anybody, and for the most part, has been out in front of everybody. Checks Robertson a second, a fastball. Flip foul off the first base side. Hickman might have a play. Now he can't get to it. About five rows back in the box seat. People were out early trying to get into Forbes Field this morning. Boy, that was a welcome sign. Bob Remark, they're going to be late trying to get out, too. Take two, who cares? Well, no place to go till 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, I guess. That's most of the time you ring in at the old time clock. Remember, I used to see that with Bethlehem Steel. Carry that lunch pail in the offseason. 75 cents an hour, wasn't it? Curveball just misses outside. Count even, two balls, two strikes.
Where are you, a riveter?
Just a good old common ordinary laborer. Used a shovel very well.
I've been there, buddy. Every time you go by the locks at Rochester, remember, I lived under that like a sand hog all one summer with a jackhammer trying to burrow out of there and get up alive.
2-2 pitch. Checked off by Jerry. No, he goes around, says the first base umpire, Paul Pryor. Tried to save the swing, couldn't do it. Hey, as the strikeout victim number four, and Bobby Robertson, who opened with a single, got the second on a steal, is still there. Pappas trying to pitch out of it. They will intentionally walk Bill Mazeroski to go to Jimmy Nelson. This is the first walk issued by Pappas. scores around the National League. Houston was knocked off by Cincinnati. Tony Perez hit his 27th in the ninth, 3-2. Winning pitcher there was Clay Carroll and releases Nolan. Wilson lost it. Los Angeles leads San Diego 2-0 after 5.5. Roberts against Alan Foster. And in a complete ball game up at Montreal, the one you're interested in, the New York Mets were knocked off 3-2. Sadecki lost it. Carl Morton picked up the win. Marshall homered for New York. Bateman and Staub, and Staub's home run in the eighth with one on. Won that one for Montreal, and gives the Bucks a chance to just finish 2 percentage points after today's activity from first place in the Eastern Division. Mavs at the first, Robertson at second. Check swing is fouled off the front foot of the pitcher, Jimmy Nelson. And the count, nothing and one. Nelson, not a bad hitting pitcher by any means. A pretty good debut in the major leagues and hasn't had too bad a performance after that either. Opened up with a strikeout amaze, got McKelly in a double play, and then got up and banged a single. Said he wanted to be a shortstop or a catcher. He's become a pretty good pitcher. Chopper hits the third base weekly. Santo has a short hop, throws, and it is in time. Shot to first base. Hickman drops the ball. They're safe all around. Robertson at third, Mavs at second, and Nelson safe at third on the air on Jimmy Hickman. Boy, that was a big break for the Bucks. Santo threw it right there at the knees, but Hickman lost the ball, and the Pirates have him loaded up. Robertson at third, Bill Mazeroski at second, Jimmy Nelson at first, and the pesky guy, Matty Lewis at play. He's 0 for 2 in this ballgame. And they hit him four times, he's back in the front. Pappas into the windup, the pitch to Matty. Whole foul off the first base side, out of play, strike one.
You know, Nellie, sometimes when that infielder at this time of night throws off that left side of the diamond, you're throwing out of the scoreboard numbers and all those white shirts, and that guy at first base is looking for a ball out of a lot of white.
It very well have happened, because the sun's starting to set down there, and it's reflecting off the box seat right back of Seto and where he was coming from. Come on, Matty. The 0-1 pitch inside. A good save by J.C. Martin prevented a wild pitch. It's like a hard slider. Martin made a great play to prevent a wild pitch on that one. He had to go way to his right. I don't know how Alou kept him getting hit. Now, the count is even at a ball and a strike. We're tied 1-1. But a base hit could end that very quickly. Two down. The windup for 1-1 pitch. Down low, blocked by Martin, can't find it, but it stays right in front of the plate. Another good save by Martin. Two balls and a strike on Matty Lou. Pirates took advantage of wildness in the front ball game to win that one as Phil Regan came on, walked the bases loaded, and then walked in the winning run with Jerry May at bat. Elroy Figg, the greatest reliever in Pirate history and maybe in all of Major League Baseball, drops into the booth, viewing the final game of Ford. 2-1 pitch. Chopped in the hole. On to base hit. Robertson scores. Mazeroski is coming to the plate. The throw not in time. Alou goes to second, and the Pirates lead it 3-1.
Sorry for Jim Hickman out there at first base. That guy's going through torches right now, Nellie.
He sure is, but I'll tell you, if there's any reason why the Cubs have been in the spot they are, you got to put it right on his shoulders. He's carried that ball club offensively. Hebner, first ball hitting, fouls it off the first base side. Strike one. He's a guy that's made himself into a very fine hitter. He was not known for anything but striking out a lot and hitting the ground ball double plays, but well, last year, he suddenly came alive. Very good money player. Came up with a very costly error, however, and the Pirates have taken advantage of it. And a big single by Matty Lou. 3-1, we lead. The crowd enjoying it all. The 0-1 changeup moves outside on Richie. Turned over the fastball. One ball and one strike. been a very effective pitch for Tappas in this ballgame. Well, these two runs will be unearned carries, but it doesn't matter. We have them. Fly ball, all right. It's going to serve foul. Well, Ricky hit it sharp. Right down the right field line, curve. About 10 feet to the right of the foul pole. Larry Gura, who worked in the front ball game, the left hander, is up and tossing down the Chicago bullpen. Jim Nelson at third base. Matty Alou at second. Lead away. The windup. The 1-2 pitch. Fly ball left field. Giving chase is Williams. Fighting the sun and near the scoreboard. He's got it. And a pretty well hit ball over the opposite field by Richie Hedman. The Pirates take the lead. Two runs on two hits. One error. We strand a pair. And after five innings of play in the second and final game at Forbes Field, the Pirates now lead it 3-1.
Most Pirate fans are beer fans, too. And just as they like a lot of action in a game, they like a lot of taste in a beer. That's why most Pirate fans ask for a cold iron when their thirsts come up. Because thirst-quenching taste is what Iron City beer is all about. Bold and cold and alive every sip of the way. Glass after glass, bottle after bottle. Iron City comes on with a taste you can really sink your thirst into. And that Iron City taste is fresh. Because Iron City beer doesn't have to come a long way to get to your tavern or your distributor. And once it gets there, Iron City doesn't sit around. It sells, my friends. I mean, it sells. So every iron you drink is as fresh as can be. Next time your thirst comes up, wet it down with Iron City. Hey, once you get there, you'll never want to leave.
Well, let's see. Here in the sixth, Nancy Wesley Posner just went to call Millie and say, I think I better stay for a while. I'll be a little late for dinner. And I said, why, she's got to be listening to the game. Fairly good group of cadets came out of West Point. Chancellor was there. A fellow named Bill Powers, a great athlete in gymnastics, and now a financial wizard around here, Roland Catanella. And there were three other fellows that were rather well-known, Blanchard, Davis, and Tucker. They never knew a losing season. All right, we have now Johnny Callison is struck out and walked standing in. Jim Nelson leading 3-1 here in the top of the sixth. Outfielder out of the right. 40,918 and nobody leaving. By the early part of this game, Nelson's palm ball, he might as well have put it on the shelf. Or let's not throw it for strikes, just show it. But he was trying to throw it for strikes, and it got him in trouble. See if he can bring it back. He could run it through it for strike two. A lot of times, a good pitch, which is his best pitch right now, is a palm ball. But if it isn't coming for you, you just waste it and go to your other stuff. And then if it comes back, then you go to it. And Jerry May's the type of a catcher that'll bring it back in there for him. If it's at all possible. The 0-2 pitch. There's the palm ball pulled down to Mazeroski. The glove has him. On to Robertson. One out. John Callison retired. 4-3. The batter now will be Cleo James. He lined to left and was hit by a pitch. Following this game, we'll have everything going for the fans here. And I know, of course, that nobody will get out of line because we're just going to have a few things given away. All the baseball caps have been autographed. They'll be awarded. It'll be some 50 prizes, bricks, some of them, and bases and what have you. But this property here belongs to the University of Pittsburgh. And there's a strike, and Jehovah's Witnesses will be in here for a big conclave. That fine group will be in here, and then there'll be other things going on, and the university site too has other plans. Ultimately, of course, this ballpark will be dismantled, and School of Law and other schools involved in the university program will be in here in the next 3 to 6 years. No balls, two strikes here to Cleo James. There's a fastball outside all the way to the bat stop. They're warming down the left field line for the Cubbies. The left-hander, we'll pick him up in a moment. Right now, that's if they get anything going. They want to be ready to hit for Pappas. Gura. Swinging strikeout. That's the second. Now here's J.C. Martin. He flied to left and he drew a walk. Pirates leading 3-1. Won the first game 3-2. First game ever played here in this park. Chicago won it 3-2 in 1909. And Hollis Wagner in that year set an all-time high for stolen bases in the World Series against the Detroit Tigers and Ty Cobb. Foul back. The Pirates played in the first World Series, but not here. It was against Boston in 1903 in the first World Series ever played. My memory is they went nine games. That is, it was a nine-game series. I don't know how long it went, but they would have gone best of nine. Here's the 0-1 to Martin. Foul ball off the sinker, 0-2. But that would have been then Exposition Park for the games that were played here in Pittsburgh between the Bo Sox and the Pirates. Then Mr. Dreyfus built this ballpark, and his son-in-law, Bill Benswanger, kept the rich tradition going. Bill wanted to be here today, but couldn't be. And he's one of the great pioneers in the game of baseball, Bill Benswanger. And he's not to be forgotten by all who are dear to baseball in this area. One ball, two strikes. Popped him up, and Hebner is looking for it. Allie's bird-dogging in behind him, and he'll take it. Allie takes it, that'll be tied to the side. Three up and three down, and we go now to the bottom of the sixth, leading 3-1. You know, it'll be pretty hard to try and predict a pennant winner this season. I have to admit, the St. Louis Cardinals look pretty good. Our own Bucks look even better. And, of course, there are the ever-amazing Mets. But I have to say this, too. When it comes to predicting a pennant winner, well, that's something else. But when it comes to predicting a pennant-winning beer, there isn't any contest at all. Everybody knows Iron City Beer leads the league, been number one for a long, long time. And Iron City will stay on top. And there's a good reason why. Iron City's taste, bold and cold, alive every sip of the way. Glass after golden glass, inning after inning. Iron City comes on with a taste you can really sink your thirst into. So the next time your beer thirst comes up, wet it down with a winner. Try the taste of Pittsburgh's number one beer, Iron City. Hey, once you get there, you'll never want to leave. All right, ready now to move into the bottom of the sixth. And Al Oliver, who hit his sixth home of the year to tie up the game back in the first inning, will be the leadoff batter. Then Stargell and Bobby Robertson against Milt Pappas. If we can take what DeRosa was doing in the sixth inning as an indication, this will be the last inning for Milt. They were warming. Gura. G-U-R-A. Oliver hits the drive, deep right center. Way back she goes, and off the wall.
Callison comes up firing.
And it's a double standing up for Oliver. That's the fourth hit. He has two of them for six bases. And the batter now is going to be Willie Stark, who is over to fly to left, and let's call that on strike. Now Gura getting up again. And they indicate they're in a picture, of course, to Stargell. Milt Pappas with runner at second in Al Oliver. Stargell golfs a foul down the right field line, and our bullpen scattered like a covey of quail.
You know, Bob, if this keeps up, Gura may be in the ball game a little earlier than Lee would like to have him in there.
Yeah, but he's going to try to get three outs if he can out of Pappas, as you and I both know, because he doesn't want to have to put him in and bring out another hitter. There's a drive hit very deep to center. James started in, now drifting back way out toward the monument. And he makes a strong throw, but Oliver has tagged and come over safely to third. That'll bring up Bobby Robertson, who singled to lead the Buckles into a rally in the fifth inning. While the two runs that scored in that inning were unearned. Due to an error. The Bucks nonetheless accept those. Now they bring the infield up. And Bobby taking a long look to Frank Osiak. They switched off Gura to a right-hander. Bobby Rodriguez. Outfielder out of the left infield is up. The pitch from Pappas, and there's a foul down the left field line. Way out of play. And that brought J.C. Martin out quickly to say something to Milt. Cubs don't want to make Ken the hard way, I'll tell you that. Make the back line on that's 2.5. But we're going to try to make it that way for them. As we won 6 in a row, they've lost 9 in a row, and that's their season high. Make no mistake about it, though, Chicago is anything but out of this pennant race. Everybody has it locked up. It's going to be a bubble job right down at the very end. It's going to bubble your blood for you. What if we come home to Three Rivers and we meet those Cincinnati Reds? Wowee. Pitch to Robertson. Inside. 1-1. I think I'd be getting my tickets for that one. 16th of July. Window 100 is going to remain open. You won't be able to get your tickets at Three Rivers Stadium. You'll get them at the regular outlets. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen. Don't write to Three Rivers. Write to Forbes Field. Come to Window 100, G.C. Murphy Store, downtown ticket office, Ticketron, any of those outlets. 1-1 pitch to Robertson. Ball inside. Two balls and a strike. And the pitch. There's a fly ball hit deep toward left. Williams coming up. The tag by Oliver. Here's a strong, high throw. Oliver scores. So it's 4-1. Dave Fay of the Pennsylvania Mirror State College. I haven't said we may never lose another game for so long. It isn't even funny, but he seems to think I've been saying it. He said if we win this one, he wants me to just said, shut your mouth. All right, David. You button up your typewriter and we'll be even. Alley up here is 0-2. Ball inside. 1-0. Now, have either of you heard me say we may never lose a game? How long has it been?
I know. It's the first time I heard you say it. And I think the last this year was down in Braden.
That's right. I did it as a gag. Ball inside. 2-0. Well, I know, Dave. He's a good writer, but he's right. We're not counting any chickens at 7 minutes. Lots of ways to go, but it's just great to be in the thick of things. 2-0 pitch now to Alley. High ball 3-0. This game here is not over. But we know one thing, it's the last game it will be played here. And I can say we may never lose another game in this park and be right. 3-1. I believe I can say that. 3 balls and a strike. Outfielder out of the right on Gene Alley. Pappas into the windup, the 3-1 pitch. Punched it foul back up on the net. Oliver opened up with a double off the right field wall. Scargo flies deep to center, and Oliver came over after the catch. And then Robertson scored him out of a rope to deep left. 3-2 pitch. Fly ball to right field, chasing Callison back, looking up in that murderous sun. Nice catch by John. Right on the wall on the warning track out there. A run on one hit, no errors, and nobody left. At the end of six, the Pirates lead it 4-1.
We want to mention something here that shows how Iron City will go to any length to make you feel at home. All the way to Florida, in fact. Iron City Beer has joined the Sunbird crowd on United Airlines nonstop flights to Miami. Now, when you're flying to and from Miami, ask your stewardess for a nice cold glass of Pittsburgh's number one beer, Iron City. It makes those friendly skies even friendlier. Iron City Beer, the beer drinker's beer.
Middle three innings are sent your way by Iron City Beer. Innings 7, 8, 9 will be brought to you by Colorful Pittsburgh Paint, a product of PPG Industries. Well, before we go to the seventh inning, the Pirates leading 4-1, let's pause for station identification on the Pirate Baseball Network.
The nation's number one pastime is on the world's number one station, AKA Pittsburgh. Listen to what we started. Glenn Beckard will bat for Pappas here as the top of the seventh inning is about to get underway at Forum Field before 40,918. In the first game of the doubleheader, Pittsburgh 3 and Chicago 2, as the Pirates extended their winning streak to 6 straight and the Cubs losing streak to 9 in a row. Now through 6 innings of play, the Bucks have 4 runs and 4 hits and the Cubs 1 run and 5 hits. Beckard, a right-handed batter. Setting out the second game of the doubleheader. Takes the first pitch low for a ball. 1-0. Beckard batting at 268. He has a couple of home runs. 18 runs batted in. Curve across. Ball one and strike one. Larry Gura, who saw action in the first game of this doubleheader, continues to keep warm in the bullpen down the line. There's a palm ball that fooled Beckard. Oh, he stepped to the front part of the box that time. And it was leaning and then tried to hold up, then leaned again, and about that time it was a little too late. Beautiful pitch. Here's a 1-2 delivery. Fastball. Little outside. Gets all the way back to the screen. 2-2 on Glenn Becker. John Kessinger in the on-deck circle to the left, and then Paul Popovich. Buck outfield playing straight away. Stargell, Alou, and Oliver. Around the infield, Hebner, Alley, Mazeroski, and Robertson. May catching, and Nelson on the mound. He has won two and lost none since coming up from Columbus. Curve is fouled back onto the screen. It gets over the screen, so the folks down below have a lot of fun fighting for that souvenir. And remember, there will be a lot of souvenirs to be given away at the conclusion of this game. Here's the 2-2 pitch. It is lined to the shortstop. One out. We go to the top of the Cub batting order, and the left-handed hitting Don Kessinger. Singled and scored in the first inning, flied to right in the third, and singled in the fifth inning.
In addition to this being the final game, this would be a wonderful 36th wedding anniversary for Jane and Tom Johnson. So congratulations to them, one of our Pirate owners and secretary and vice president of the baseball club, and it would be a great going away. Not going away, going away from Forbes Field, but an anniversary present for Jane and Tom.
And many happy years to come, too, to the Johnson family as the pitch is outside for a ball. 1-0. Kessinger, 2 out of 3 in this ball game. He was shut out in the first game, nothing for 4, so he is 3 for 11 in the series. Swing and a foul tip. Here's a pitch. A little high for a ball. Kessinger, the batter. A slugfest underway in Chicago in the second game of a doubleheader. Wow. I'll tell you about it in a moment. There's a strike call. 2-2 on the batter. Minnesota got 4 on the top of the first. Chicago came back with 6 on the last of the first. 4-1 in favor of Pittsburgh here.
Oh, he's hit down the left field line. Coming hard is Scarjo. He can't get it. It's into the bullpen, just out of his reach. Still 2-2 on the batter. Joe Gibbon, who is loosening up a couple of innings back in this ballgame, is again ready should they need him. And Bruce Del Canton, the right-hander, is now throwing also. And Larry Gura, a left-hander, in the bullpen for the Chicago Cubs. He's been joined by Rodriguez. Here's the 2-2 delivery. Swing and a foul back. It's still 2-2 on the batter. One out and nobody on. Boy, the folks are having a great time here this afternoon. Nelson works 2-2 to the batter. Ground ball to the right side. Mazeroski to his glove side comes up with it. Throws on to first in time. Kessinger is an easy out. Two up and two down in the top of the seventh inning, and the batter will be the second baseman, Paul Popovich. San Francisco and Atlanta are tied at four through nine innings of play. The game is being played at Candlestick. Popovich singled into right center field in the first inning, walked on a 3-2 pitch in the third in the slide to left. So he's 1-for-2 against Nelson, the pitch. Outside, just off the corner for a ball. It's 1-0. Just after six here in Pittsburgh. Swing and a high pop-up. May coming down the line. So is Hebner in foul territory. Richie stays with it, looking into that brilliant sunshine, and he made a one-hand stab of the ball to retire the side. Nothing across in the Chicago half of the seventh inning. The Bucks coming into bat in the first half of inning number seven. Last time they'll do this tradition in this park, leading 4-1.
Tired of listening in black and white? See what a difference a coat of Pittsburgh paint can make.
What's going on?
That spring willow green going on. That microphone, avocado.
Shouldn't you be painting on color television?
No, no. People at home keep horsing with the knobs until they've turned apricot into banana.
So you're asking them to imagine your colors?
Until they can get into the Pittsburgh dealer and see for themselves, yes.
Kill the rainbow.
A rainbow on radio?
Colorful rainbow.
Fantastic. Where can I see Pittsburgh paints in person?
That man holding his hand over his ear will tell you.
Ineda, your Pittsburgh paints dealer, is Winchell Hardware, 346 Butler Street. And in East Liberty, there's a Pittsburgh paint center located at 1351 Washington Boulevard.
$40,918 looking on. As the Chicago Cubs and the Pittsburgh Pirates do battle in a doubleheader at Forbes Field in Pittsburgh. The Cubs won the first game 3-2. The Pirates won that first game 3-2 over the Cubs. And we lead in this game 4-1. And, Nelly, we got a new left-hander.
Effectively, good off-speed pitch. First time we had a chance to see it.
And May will lead it off in the home half of the seventh inning. Crowd beginning to settle back into their seats now. The left-hander ready to go to work. Curve ball picked up the outside corner. Started it way out wide that time. Broke it in on the corner, and it is nothing and one to Jerry May. May has fly to the right fielder and struck out in two trips against Pappas in this ballgame. Milt works the first six innings. There's a curve across. No balls, two strikes. Continuing to have action in the bullpen for Chicago. Jim Colburn now throwing. Ball got away from the bullpen catcher, and the home plate umpire spotted it and called time. In the outfield for the Cubs in the second game, we're looking at Williams, James, and Callison, with Bano, Kessinger, Popovich, and Hickman on the inner defense. Pitching close to May. One ball and two strikes.
Hyatt caught the game yesterday in the first game of the doubleheader. J.C. Martin working behind the plate this afternoon. Here's the 1-2 pitch. In close for a ball, and it's 2-2 now. Mazeroski in the on-deck circle to the right, due up next. And the third man up in the inning will be the pitcher, Jim Nelson. May waiting on a ball, too. The strike two delivery. Here comes. He takes low for a ball. So after getting ahead of the right-handed batter, no balls, two strikes. The string has run out. Home plate umpire Vargo looking over the left shoulder. May waiting on a 3-2 delivery. With a flick of the glove, here is shaken off a side. Now he comes back and strikes him out. Got Cherry that time on a breaking pitch. Second time May has gone down via the strikeout route in this ball game. First strikeout for Larry Gura, and it brings up Mazeroski. New York Yankees have knocked off Boston 8-2. Boston the winner, Kolf the loser. Mance has struck out and drawn an intentional walk. The pitch is a strike called, and it's nothing and one. The pitch. Ground ball down the line. It's a fair ball heading toward the bullpen. Mance has got a try for two. He cuts the inside corner of the bag, and he'll go into second, standing up with a double. Mance has doubled down the line. The runner in scoring position, one out, and it brings up the pitcher, Jim Nelson. The ground ball between third base and the third baseman, Fennell. That is the third extra base hit of the ball game. Oliver had the other two, a home run and a double. And now Maz has doubled off the left-hander, Gura. Hits are even at 5 for each club, with the Bucks lead in the payoff department 4-1 after winning the first game 3-2. And remember, after this ball game, then the club will go on the road and tangle with the New York Mets, beginning a three-game series tomorrow night at Shea Stadium in New York. A look at second, the pitch. Curve low into the dirt. Ball one, no strikes. Auburn continues to throw in the bullpen. The bullpen catcher is wearing a mask. No activity in the Pirate bullpen. Jim Nelson waiting on a ball one, no strike pitch. The look to second. Here it comes. It's the ball outside. 2-2. Frank Osiak looking into Nelson, and Nelson steps out of the batter's box for a moment to be sure that he has that sign correctly. Checked again. Now steps in. Don Leppard coaching at first. Shadows are beginning to lengthen here at the stadium, reaching the home plate area now. Fastball is over from the left-hander. Two balls and a strike. Bucks scored a run in the first. Two in the fifth and one in the sixth. For four, the Chicago Cubs scored a run on three consecutive hits to get the ball game underway. Since then, Nelson and the Pirates have been in command. The 2-1 pitch, swing and a foul. The ball will get back into the seats over here to the right. San Francisco winning their ball game on a home run by Gallagher. Second of the year in the 10th inning with one man on. Jim Mudcat Grant. Is that right? No, he stopped with San Francisco. Giants win 6-4. There's a ground ball to the right side. It'll get the runner on to third. Becker backs up, gets on the short hop, and throws on to first. And Mazeroski goes to third. Play going 4-3. Here is Alou, and a fine ovation for Mateo Alou, who, with the bases loaded, singled into right field in the fifth inning to drive in a couple of runs. Since then, the Bucks have added another run. Alou, with 1-for-3 in the ballgame, now 3 out of 11 in the series. has 88 hits. He leads the Bucks in that department and now has 27 runs batted in. Chokes up quite a bit on the handle of the bat. Oh, there's a ball behind his head. That ball slipped from the left-hander Gura, and it went behind Matty, and the catcher Martin had to move quickly to the right to get to that ball. Ball one, no strikes. The left-hander pitch. Low into the dirt. Alou was ready to offer it, and I don't know whether he went around or not. He did. Powell tipped the ball. He got down on it, just like hitting it off a golf tee that time, then tried to check up on it, looped his swing back. Tipped the ball. It drew it 1-1 on Alou. Outfield toward left and not very deep. The 1-1 pitch. He's going to strike it. They're going to try to squeeze him home. The throw is in time. That's what the pitcher off the mound. Throw to first, nipped to Lou. The play going 1-3 to retire the side. In the inning, no runs, one hit, no errors, one man left. At the end of seven, Pittsburgh 4, Chicago 1.
Pittsburgh Paint presents The Breathing House. Your house is breathing all the time. It expands when it's hot and humid, contracts when it's cool and dry, inhales and exhales, stretches and shrinks. That's why house paint cracks and blisters and peels. So we made a new paint that stretches and breathes. New Pittsburgh Sunproof Latex. It has four times the stretchability of other house paint. It breathes and expands and contracts with your house, so it resists cracking and blistering and peeling. Pittsburgh Sunproof Latex house paint lasts longer, years longer than any other house paint. Try it. Give your house a breather.
$20,918 at Ford Field for the final game. And Bob, there's a guy sitting down here that made history here, and this ballpark is synonymous with his name, isn't it?
Yeah, he made it easy as pie. Last name, I guess, has to be Trainer, doesn't it? Sure good to see him up and around and know that he's hale and hearty. I think it's quite an honor that this field would produce two players that didn't produce but saw two players that were unanimously selected as the all-time greatest players in their position. Trainer, who's here now, played third, and of course, the late Honus Wagner, who played short and is adjudged by many as the greatest player of all time.
Yes, yeah, good to see Pi out at the ballpark again. He's recovering from an illness. Billy Williams, who's had two hits and three times at bat, stepped in. Fastball by Jimmy Nelson is just outside, ball one. Pirates leading 4-1. We won the front game of the doubleheader 3-2. Six more outs to go in this ballpark. Line drive, center field. And Lou will play it on about the second hop, holding at first base, Billy Williams. Another well-hit ball by Williams. Stepping in, Jim Hickman. He and Williams have been about it offensively for the Cubs in this series, and I guess they're almost a week, too, although Williams had some sort of a slump prior to coming in here. The guy was on in the fourth play, fly to center, intentionally walked back in the fifth when Nelson pitched out of a tough jam. The bases loaded, got Santo to hit into a double play. Curveball way outside, one ball and no strikes. Activity now in the Pirates bullpen. Left-hander Luke Walker, who got a save in the front game, getting the final two outs after the bases are loaded. And right-hander Dave Justy, who picked up the win in the front game. Nelson, with that stare at first base, takes the sign. Here's the palm ball in, taken by Hickman. One ball, one strike. Jimmy Hickman has to be an all-star player this year for the first time in his major league career. Having a great year. Hitting at 330, leading the club in RBIs. Palm ball, taken, foul tip. Tried to get the bat out of there, couldn't make it. And the count now, ball and two strikes. Nelson started this winning streak for the Bucks when he shut out the Cardinals in 10 innings, 1-0.
apart from the track cliche, but it has been a pretty good team effort all around. 1-2 pitch. Curve ball is outside. Count even. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Hebner deep at third. Not 5 feet off the line. 2-2 pitch. Bounce to shortstop. Alley over to Mazeroski to throw to first. Double play. That's the third double play in this ball game. That's the second. It's Alley and Mazeroski have turned over. 1966 is a big year for Oop and Maz with a double play. Boy, it's good to see both of them back healthy and playing once again. Santo, 0-for-3, bounced into a double play with the bases loaded the last time. Pirates leading 4-1. Breaking ball taken by Santo. Strike one. Not too many people leaving their seats. 40,918. Boy, they've enjoyed a beautiful day for baseball and two good games. Curveball, backhanded by May in the dirt. Count even to the ball on the strike. Pirates pitching, which had been a question mark in the spring and the early weeks of the season, really starting to solidify now. Found another arm in this guy, Jimmy Nelson. The 1-1 pitch, a little bit high with a fastball. He's behind, 2 balls and a strike. To give Don Osborne a lot of credit for the confidence he has in youngsters and installs in youngsters or instills. Palm ball inside, 3 balls and a strike. Three-one delivery, just a little bit low, and that walks to Santo for Jimmy Nelson. That's walk number 5. Nelson will have to confess that this is not his best ball game, but they've only scored 1 run, Bob.
That's right. He's been running through some raindrops. I remarked a little earlier, Nellie, while you were out getting a sandwich, that I felt his palm ball wasn't doing what he wanted it to do. When he got Mays on the strikeout the first time he came into the biggies, and then got McCovey to go to the double play, and then the next time out against the Dodgers, it stayed with him and spayed him out the next time he won the ball game. It seemed to me that so far, this early part of the game, anyhow, his palm ball wasn't where he wanted it. Then he seemed to get it back for a while. Now it seems to have deserted him again.
The kind of a guy, though, we mentioned before, that just doesn't know when to give up. He's going to battle you right to the end. A very good competitor. And that's something you have to be an outstanding pitcher just to make it the big league. Robertson will play behind Santo at first base. 4-1 is the score. The Pirates leading. Top of the eighth. Callison, the batter. Fouls one. Back on the screen. Well, he had a good ball to hit that time. A little bit annoyed that he didn't poke it. Callison struck out, drew a walk, and bounced to Bill Mazeroski in 3 trips against Nelson. Cubs were able to get only six hits in the front game. Chopping ball to second. Mazeroski on 2 hops. The first, and that retires the Cubs. No run. 1 hit. No errors. A strand one. We go to the bottom half of the eighth. The Pirates lead it 4-1.
Commercial, right? Right. And it's good news about the Great Plymouth Duster. You know, Plymouth sales are soaring in this area, and this duster is one great reason. Once you've seen it, you'll know why. Small enough, yet big enough, just about says it. This is what it says. Duster seats 5. Now, if you've been looking at small cars, you know that's room for one more person than most mini cars seat. And look at the trunk. There's room for just about anything and everything you'll ever want to take along. Power, you say? Well, power we got. More power than most mini cars. Power you can use on freeways. Power to make that vacation drive a breeze. And if the little lady talks style, show her Duster. Inside, outside, all around the Duster, you'll never find anything that looks like a mini car, except the price. Duster. Priced like a mini car, built like a lot more. There's a Plymouth dealer near you. See Tom Crock at AC Motor Sales in Irwin. Or Merle or Jim at J.M. Beatty Automotive in Eau Claire.
Well, the Pirates up there at bat for the final time in Forbes Field. Bottom half of the eighth, we leave 4-1. Richie Hebner, Hal Oliver, and then Willie Stargell to go against left-hander Larry Garrett. First ball hitting, fly ball to shallow left, Kessinger back, Williams on. Billy Williams has it for the first out. Well, the way it stands right now, Hal Oliver moving in. What a hot bat he's had. He has hit the last home run for Steele. Getting a fine hand, too. Much deservedly so. Well, this guy's done a great job, as we mentioned. Moved out of first base by Bob Robertson. Went into the outfield, and what a job he's done. It's an off-speed pitch, foul off the end of the bat down the third base side. Strike one. Lined up by Guerra. Fastball, foul, back out of play, nothing in two. I was talking about Dale Long's home run streak, and there's a gentleman that very seldom misses a Pirate game from New Brighton by the name of Smitty. And I recall going up to his place in 1956 with Dale Long. Fly ball to left to right field. Back is Callison near the wall, and he has got it for the out. That ball almost identically the same spot with a home run and the previous double one. Oliver has that spot pretty well lined up. Two up and two down. The gentleman had Dale Long and I down to his place in 1956. Gave us a toaster and that thing still works. I'm glad I am too. Stargell off the fifth. Fly ball to left field. Drifting back is Billy Williams and he runs it down. Now an easy inning for Larry Gura. Three fly ball outs, no runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. We've completed eight innings of play, and the Pirates lead the second game 4-1.
Your next car, what will it be? Well, if you're on a budget, you could settle for a nice little compact, nice and small, nice and cheap. But what if you're the luxury type and still in a budget? Then you're in trouble, unless you see your Chrysler dealer. That's right, Chrysler. Because right now, a full-size Chrysler Newport is priced only a few dollars a month more than a Ford LTD or a Chevy Caprice comparably equipped. And that's a loaded Chrysler Newport. A four-door sedan with a big 383 cubic inch V8 engine that uses regular gas, power steering, automatic transmission, radio, fiberglass belted white sidewall tires, torsion bar suspension, and more. Chrysler Newport. That's luxury. That's value. That's your next car waiting for you right now. And there's a Chrysler dealer near you. See Andy Gregg or Carl Sobick at Gregg Motor Company in Clareton, or Phil Detweiler at Phil Detweiler Motors in Masontown. Well, Dave Justy has come on now, and Nelson has gone eight innings for one run. He can win, he cannot lose. Justy can pick up a save. He was the winner in the first game. No question, as we talked, he had been struggling. But he gave up five walks. He threw a lot of pitches. And Danny Murtaugh, you must remember one other thing. This boy had a history earlier of a sore arm. Danny Murtaugh doesn't want to horse around with that. We have Al Oliver in right field. And John Jeter has... Jeter's gone to left field. Justy will go to Cleo James. So we're down to what the Pirates hope are the final three outs before 40,918. Buccos won the first game 3-2. Montreal beat New York 3-2 to take 2 out of 3 from the Mets. And now we're here in the ninth inning leading 4-1. The outfielder on to the left. Now the pitch. And he bounces it up the middle and over to the left is Alley up behind second. Throws him out. Beautiful ranging play by Gene Alley. One away. Now J.C. Martin, 0-2. He flied to left, he walked, and he popped to short. Pirates leading 4-1. The outfield playing J.C. Martin straight away. Now the pitch. Ball high. Years ago, the gentleman that started me broadcasting baseball, the late Rosie Rosewell, opened up Forbes Field Broadcasting. And now, it looks like we're going to close it down. One ball, one strike. And I'll be honest with you, it's getting to me. The 1-1 pitch. Palm ball popped into left fielder. And Jeter waiting. Two out. Willie Smith coming up. Almost 5,000 baseball games. Lady Forbes is about to retire. The Cubs, who opened it 61 years ago, close it here with our Pirates. And just imagine. I doubt if maybe one man was living at the time that was on this field. It could have been Leo DeRocher, about the only one. And he would have been abated. Strike is called. The left hand batting Willie Smith. There isn't an umpire here that could say that. Foul back. Strike two. If I know Leo, he wouldn't leave his, let his birthday get in that hook. When I say Leo is at least 60, here's the 0-2 pitch to Smith. High for a ball, 1-2. Les Worthington, the director of the club over here, just is beaming along with general manager Joe Brown, his wife Cindy, and their guest Thomas Johnson on his 36th wedding anniversary. 1-2 pitch. Low, 2-2. Two balls, two strikes. Two out. 4-1 Pittsburgh, top half of the ninth. And the 2-2 pitch to Smith. Base hit. Right up the middle. Number 7 brings up Don Kessinger. He singled and scored the Cubs' lone run. He flied out to right field in the third. He looped a single to left in the fifth. He bounced out to second in the 7th. The outfield playing around to the left. To the left-hand batting Kessinger. Justy, who won the first game, bidding for a save in the second game. Nelson, the pitcher of record. Now the pitch. Kessinger takes a strike. About 25 years from now, 300,000 people would have been here at this game. It always is that way. Pitch high, ball on strike one. Fitting that Al Barlick, the senior umpire of the National League, would call the balls and strikes in the first game, that Eddie Bargo, born and reared in Butler, Pennsylvania, who spent many a pleasurable hour here as a spectator, umpires the last game. One ball, one strike. A high chopper over the mound, going over for it is Nass. He got it. It's all over. It's all over. 61 years. And the Buccos receive a standing ovation. They close it out. And the Cubs go down to defeat. No runs, one hit, no errors, and one left. Pittsburgh takes the doubleheader, 3-2 and 4-1.
Pardon me, sir. I notice you're painting your house.
Yes, I'm painting my house.
With Pittsburgh Sunproof, the new latex house paint that fights discoloration from air pollution.
Well, that's what they claim.
Air pollution quite a problem in this city, is it?
You're kidding or what?
I wonder if you'd mind slipping off that gas mask for just a moment. Yeah, I'm not picking up too clearly.
Okay, well, just for a moment, though.
Oh, that's better. Sunproof from Pittsburgh not only allows your house to stretch and shrink with extreme hot or cold weather, it has also been developed to fight mildew and the ravages of air pollution.
Can you hurry it up, please?
As air pollution from automobiles and industry increases in the 70s, isn't it a comfort to know that your house will continue to look great longer when it's painted with Pittsburgh's new Sunproof?
It's a kind of a comfort, yeah. Good luck to your lungs in the 70s, but at least your house will look great.
In North Hills, your Pittsburgh paint dealer is John Rogers. North Hills Village Shopping Center, McKnight Road. In Mount Lebanon, there's a Pittsburgh paint center located at 316 Castle Shannon Boulevard.
Well,
Before we summarize the doubleheader that has moved the Pittsburgh Pirates into a virtual tie for first place in the Eastern Division of the National League with the New York Mets, and the Mets coming up tomorrow night, let's pause for station identification along the Pittsburgh Pirate Radio Network.
Fielding everything. Open mic with Mike Levine. 6 to 9 p.m. on KDKA Pittsburgh.
In the first game of a doubleheader, the Pittsburgh Pirates, who were gone on to win two games, picked up a 3-2 victory to extend their winning streak to 6 in a row and to move a half game at that stage of the day closer to the league-leading New York Mets. In the first game, the Pirates had 3 runs, 7 hits, and no errors, and for the Chicago Cubs, 2 runs, 6 hits, and 1 error. The winning pitcher in relief was Dave Justy. His record, 4-0. The losing pitcher for the Chicago Cubs was Billy Hahn, and his record dropped to 9-7. It was a great first game for the Bucks to win as they extended their winning streak to 6 straight and the Cubs losing streak to 9 in a row. And then in the second game of the doubleheader, the Chicago Cubs greeted the young right-hander Nelson with 3 consecutive hits. There was action in the Pirate bullpen, and the Cubs had a 1-0 lead. In the last of the first inning, Al Oliver hit his 6th home run of the season to tie the game at 1. Then in the 5th inning, the Pirates went on top with a couple of runs, added another run in the 6th inning, 4 runs, 5 hits, and no errors for the victorious Pittsburgh Pirates, and for the Chicago Cubbies, 1 run, 7 hits, and 1 error. The winner in the second game, Nelson, his record is now 3-0, and Justy was credited with his 11th save of the season. The starter and loser for the Chicago Cubs was Pappas, with a record of 2-2. 40,918 jammed Forbes Field for the final game to be played in the history of this park. It all began in 1909, and in that year, the Pirates went on to win the pennant and to win the World Series. And now they close it out with a sweep of the 3-game series from the Chicago Cubs and moved within a virtual tie of first place in the Eastern Division. New York lost today. Their record is 38-33. The Pirates, by winning 2, now 40 victories, more than any other team in the Eastern Division. They have lost 35 times. The percentage for New York is .535. The percentage for the Pittsburgh Pirates is .533. Nellie, this has been a grand and glorious day. I know how Bob has felt beginning his broadcasting career here. Your pitching career was right out there on that mound. And before you do close it off, I'm sure there must be a goosebump or two along your arms and down your back, and maybe a sad note in your voice and a tear in your eye.
Well, not really, not a tear in my eye, but I get a little nostalgic about these moments, I'm sure, and I got more goosebumps during the ball game because this ball club has kind of attracted a lot of enthusiasm, or brought some enthusiasm back to Pittsburgh and the sports, and I'm happy to see that. But as far as my pitching career, it was brief in the big league. I won my first ball game here, and that's something I'll always treasure. You can't take it away from me. It's something you dream when you're a little kid, a chance to play in the big league. And you always remember the first one you ever won, the drive here against the then Milwaukee Braves. Auld Lang Syne was being played, and players are now bringing their baseball caps out, and they're getting a huge response here, Gene. It's a real heartwarming thing. The fans are enjoying it, and I think the players are, too.
And it's 7 in a row now for the Bucks.
That's right. Momentum is a wonderful thing.
I think Roberto's ovation would be something that the folks along our Pirate Network would like to pick up as each player has autographed his baseball.
That is Roberto Clemente.
That was for Clemente.
Bill Mazzaracchio lifted a few pretty good cheers, too.
Nellie, along with everything that goes with the winning of the doubleheader and the closing of Forbes Field and all, you can't say, well, that's the season, because the players leave tomorrow morning. We go into New York, and they begin a road trip against the New York Mets,
Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon will be, and Thursday night will be a day off. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Chicago. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday along in Philadelphia. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in St. Louis, all before the All-Star break. So they have a lot of work cut out for them yet.
I tell you, the next 6 days are going to be real big ones for this ball club in Shea Stadium. And, of course, in the weekend series with the Cubs. They'll want to come back. This ball club is a good ball club, Chicago. They're not beaten. They're going to bounce back. It's too early. Their pitching's a little bit hurting right now, and they're not hitting. But every ball club goes through that. We've got momentum, and they don't. But it's going to be a very interesting road trip, and we'll be most happy to bring it to you. Well, I guess we'll wind it up from Forbes Field. It's been my pleasure to sit along with Bob Prince for 4 years, and this year to sit along with Dean Osborne. And that winds up our fire broadcast for today and forever from Forbes Field. We'll be back on the air tomorrow at 8 o'clock from Shea Stadium when we take on the New York Mets. Now speaking for Bob Prince, the gunner, for Dean Osborne, good old trusty engineer, George Cleve, and our loyal statistician, Radio Rich, Nellie King saying so long for your colorful Pittsburgh Paints dealer, where you can select from a rainbow of colors. Pittsburgh Paints, a product of PPG Industries. For Iron City Beer, next time your beer thirst comes up, wet it down with the number one beer around here, Iron City Beer. Once you get there, you'll never want to leave. And for Atlantic Richfield Company and your local Atlantic dealer, drive in where you see the Red Ball Center. Red Ball Service is your Atlantic dealer's way of assuring you good service every time you come in. This broadcast is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Pittsburgh Baseball Club solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. And any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the description and accounts of this game without the express written consent of the Pittsburgh Baseball Club is prohibited. Once again, the final scores ever from Forbes Field, the Pirates sweep a doubleheader. The Pirates winning the front ball game 3-2. They came back to win the nightcap 4-1. Auld Lang Syne was sung, and we'll say it too. This is the Pirates baseball.